So welcome back to one of our bite-sized episodes. I'm absolutely delighted to welcome Claire into our little broom cupboard, the studio. Let's kick it off. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Then, if you can, what drew you towards sustainability and what drew you to Future Plus? Because you haven't been with us for a huge amount of time. So it'd be great to introduce yourself and you know, what brought you to us.
It's a pleasure to be here. I feel a little bit like Harry Potter. Maybe you've had that before, but it's the closest I'll get to the Wizarding World. So, yeah, it's lovely to be here. I'm Claire, obviously. I have an accent from Australia. Unsurprising, given how many of us flock overseas.
We keep attracting Antipodeans.
Yes. I mean, we were just chatting before about the glories of being on this side of the world and so close to so many other lovely parts, which it takes very, very long time to get there from Australia. So
apart from the sun.
Yeah. It's out today. So I'm happy about that.
It's a day in London today.
Exactly. It is delightful. I've got my legs out. I'm feeling very much at home. So I have, I suppose, a background in consulting. I have spent the last probably 8 or so years in consulting, but specifically tech strategy. You know, I think when you're working for a consultancy, you kind of dip your toe in everywhere, which has definitely been my experience the past 8 years. I knew from a very young age that I wanted to help people, and I didn't really know what that looked like. I mean, it was, you know, getting someone a cup of tea or making mum breakfast in bed, or, you know, just supporting, I suppose, the community with little charity events and local, often sports. But my passion for sustainability, I think, really kicked off when I was in year 8. So I don't know what year that was, maybe 2016. And I remember it vividly. I was sitting in the school hall and we were watching Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth. And I was terrified. I remember just kind of sitting there as a 14-year-old, like, what on earth is happening to this world? And I don't know what to do, but I know I have to do something. And so from there, I guess I didn't really know what I could do. I ended up being the person that picked up rubbish in the playground after recess and lunch, because I was like, okay, that's me doing my part at that age. And then I admit I didn't know that you could study sustainability. I didn't know that was an option. So I went into business and international studies at university. I thought it was broad enough. And then when I finished that degree, I didn't know that I'd be able to work in sustainability without having studied it. So I went into consulting, really broad, and really enjoyed it, but was always doing the side hustle thing. So I was, you know, setting up the green team in whatever company I was at. I was volunteering on the side, you know, but it was always a side hustle. And then my last boss back in Australia, he was an absolute legend, but just extremely supportive and really encouraged me to pursue sustainability. I knew it was what I wanted to do. And I mean, that word gets thrown around a lot, but for me, it was trying to ensure that I used my day-to-day, both personally and professionally, to give back, to try and improve the world we live in now, but also the future of, you know, the people that are here, future generations. So, yeah, he encouraged me to do that. And I was lucky enough to take the leap a couple of years ago from the very familiar space of tech consulting to the daunting but very exciting world of ESG and sustainability. And spent the last, well, prior to moving here, I spent time setting up our ESG consultancy across Australia and New Zealand. Came over here and wanted to use this as, yeah, an opportunity to really build on that foundation.
You joined us as a Future Plus advisor, so supporting clients through going through the process of using the tech. And that's a really important part for us, is that tech with human. Is there really anything that surprised you around the businesses that you've been working with now and you've been supporting clients over the last few months about how they're approaching sustainability and sort of how we can support them?
For me, the biggest, well, I'm not sure if it's a surprise, but the biggest thing that I've noticed is that sustainability is still an afterthought, and still quite siloed, you know, the efforts that it's often handballed off to someone who has 10 other things on their plate that wears 4 different hats. And so it's still really quite a challenge, despite all the evidence to the contrary that says that, you know, embedding it from the beginning and really kind of making sure it's integrated into your business strategy, your operations, your decisions. Like
something with that commercial lens is that sits over the top.
Yeah.
Why it's not just doing the right thing for the sake of doing it, but also doing it because you'll have a more resilient, risk-free,
exactly,
more, you know, more efficient, more productive business.
Yeah, and that for me, I mean, the fact that it's still, I suppose not as integrated as we would, I think, love to see, right? I mean, I spent a lot of my professional career being a little naive. I wanted people to want to do this because it's the right thing to do, because, you know, out of the goodness of their hearts. But I went to an event a few years ago and someone said something, and I can't remember the exact wording, but it was just around being pragmatic in order to make a difference. And you can help. I mean, every company needs help, even the one. I mean, I didn't want to work with organizations that I didn't believe in, that I thought were kind of contributing to it. But some could argue that they need the most help and the most support. So I really had to change the way that I looked at things. But a little bit of a segue, but I suppose it's, around just it's still being siloed and still not being operationalized. I think something else for me coming into this role is, and I think I see this even when in publications and in the news and social media, how there's a real focus on climate or environment. But the other themes, you know, the social aspects of sustainability, the diversity and inclusion, economic lens, I think that they're still not fully understood.
Especially not in the mixture of impact or the interrelationship between the impact that if you do something on climate, it may have a social effect, or if you do something economic, it might have an impact on inclusion, and that that bigger picture of understanding what you're doing as an organization across a sort of 360 degree view, as you say, rather than siloing into a, we're doing a thing, therefore the box is ticked.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not how businesses run on any other part of their strategy. Oh, that's not how they should run on any other part of their strategy.
Definitely. Looking at it holistically, I think for me is something that, it's not surprising having come into this role, but I am encouraged that by working with Future Plus, they are able to, they're thinking about these, you know, other elements and the interconnectedness between them.
And you work with a wide variety, like we work with companies across 30 sectors, 17 different countries. They're all different shapes, sizes. They've all got different commercial goals. But is there anything that you found particularly about having the Future Plus advisor or the human as part of that story, and where in how we work with clients, that you think that they would struggle if they just had access to the tech? And here's a thing, go on, get on with it, you know, good luck.
Absolutely.
Have you, you know, with the relationships that you've had, is there something there around being there to support them?
10,000%. I think that's the key differentiator between just handballing something over the fence, right? And then going, here you go, off you go on your own. For me, every call that I have, I mean, I think we're providing value, we're answering questions, we're helping people decipher a lot of terms and concepts that they wouldn't otherwise think about. You know, you provide a level of trust and a level of connection that I think without that human element would leave organizations, I guess, stuck at a point, right? Not able to join the dots. Yes, they have the data, but we hear that all the time. What about, you know, what does that data actually mean? How can it be used? What are the insights? And then, like, how would you, I suppose, take that, make it tangible, make it real, decipher the noise? You know, there is so much. We in the industry talk about the alphabet soup of ESG all the time, right? Imagine having no idea, having a technology that relates, kind of talks about that or uses some of those concepts, but then not having someone to ask questions, just feel comfortable kind of like throwing ideas back and forth. So for me, the human element is key. It really comes down to the trust that you build with your clients. And I mean, we want to interact as creatures, right? At least on some level.
Absolutely. And I think it enables progress so much faster, which is, you know, key, because if you have cadence and momentum, it can take you further.
You see that, I think, with the clients that you're engaging with more regularly, right? Every 2 weeks, every month, compared to the progress made by those that you're interacting with on, a less frequent basis, more every 6 months, for example, based on their needs, the progress that comparing the two is, there's a huge difference.
Thank you so much, Claire. That was absolutely amazing. And if you would like to find out more, you can visit www.future-plus.co.uk.
Thank you. What a pleasure.